Let's turn to Galatians chapter 6, would we please? Galatians 6. We won't read as yet, but we'll be reading a few verses from there very soon. And so let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you now. We thank you so much that we have friends and brothers and sisters in the Lord that we can come and worship you this evening with. Thank you that we can have a God who loves us and that we can come before and expect to be spoken to. Thank you that you're real and that, Lord, there is a spirit that ministers to our hearts and souls. And I pray that that may be the case tonight. Pray that your word will be made alive and that, Lord, it will speak just to us. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. At youth group a couple of weeks ago, I shared with the teenagers about all the books that I have read in my life. It didn't take long. I think I didn't even need to use both my hands. So I'm not a big reader by any means. One book that I haven't read that maybe some would consider is nearly as bad as not reading the Bible is I've never read Pilgrim's Progress, but I have watched the movie. All right, so, and I've watched a couple of movies, and I have this memory of watching a movie. It would have been on a camp. I don't know how old I was, maybe about 10 or something like that. And I can't really remember too much of the movie. All I have ingrained in my brain was that burden that Pilgrim carried everywhere and how big it was and how heavy it was and how frustrating it must have been to have to carry that around, as it was a picture of his sin and the burden of sin that was upon him. I still remember that. I remember also how he made his way to Calvary and he looked up and he saw Christ on the cross, and upon believing, that burden rolled away and it rolled down the hill and disappeared. And that's a wonderful picture of what takes place when we trust the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. The burden of guilt rolls away. Having said that, if you've been a Christian for just even a couple of weeks, let alone years, you would know that burdens still appear at times in our life, don't they? Sometimes they take on the form of a burden of sin. Sometimes they are simply just the burdens of life. And I'm wondering if the Lord allowed all of us to see your burden tonight, like I saw Pilgrim's burden on his back, I wonder what it would look like. Wonder if you'd have to have a whole row to yourself because your burden is just taking up everything. All right, so you have to sit in a row by yourself. Or maybe you just got a teeny weeny little burden at the moment, like one of those little ones that sit on the back there and you've got plenty of space, or somewhere in between. Well, the fact is, all throughout our Christian life, we're going to have various burdens, things that weigh us down, things that make life hard, things that stop us from doing what we would like to be doing, some things that frustrate us, some annoy us, some just really make us sad. Burdens come in all shapes and sizes, and they are unavoidable. And at times, they do seem overwhelming. Good news is, though, we have a loving Heavenly Father who's concerned about our burdens as Christians as well. He's very concerned about that burden of sin, and he wants to have that removed. But he's concerned about all our burdens, even the burdens that we have to carry at times in our Christian life. And he wants to help. And he has set up ways in order to help us. Maybe that little boy needs to go somewhere else if he can't sit still. What's he doing? Yeah. It's a problem when you have a little hole. So the Lord has something for us in regards to advice about burdens in order to help us. Have a look here in Galatians chapter 6. And we read it in verses 1 to 5. It says there, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden." And so there's some advice here that will help us with our burdens. But I must say there does seem to be a little bit of a contradiction between verse 2 and verse 5, where we're told in verse 2 that we're to bear one another's burdens. And then in verse 5 it says, "For every man shall bear his own burden." And so in this passage showing help for burdens, there seems to be an apparent contradiction. But if you know the Greek, it unlocks the meaning of this passage, and what we discover is the mind of God and some very helpful tips in regards to burdens. Because although the English word burden is used twice here, they are two different Greek words with two different meanings. And these two words reveal to us the mind of God in regards to burdens. And I want to just have a look at these, because if we have an understanding of what they are and how this applies to the burdens that we have in life, it should help us with those burdens that we're meant to be carrying in our life. And so the one in verse 2 shows us that there are burdens that need to be shared. Okay? We need help with. It says there in verse 2, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." There's that lovely little section at the end, "and so fulfill the law of Christ." The law of Christ is to love one another. And he wants us, we're told here, to act like Christ and do as he does. And he says, "I want you to love one another," and a part of that is bearing each other's burdens. Jesus loves us enough to want to share our burdens and help us with our burdens. And he says, "I want you to do the same with each other as well. Bear each other's burdens and be like me." Now, the burden that is talked about there is the Greek word baros, which means weight or load, and it's used to describe something very heavy or very harsh. It's used 6 times in the New Testament. 1 time is in Matthew chapter 20, and that's when Jesus is talking about telling a parable, how a man went out and he hired men to go and work in his vineyard. And he went out at 6 in the morning and he asked some to come and work. And then he went out at 9 as well. And then he went out at 12 and got more. And then he finally went out at 5 in the afternoon and got some to come and work for him as well. And then at the end of the day, at 6 o'clock, he began to pay the men. And in the parable, we discover that those who had been working since the beginning of the day, they weren't happy because they got the same pay as those that only turned up at the end of the day. And this is what they said: "These last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and heat of the day." And so we're given the picture of men laboring all day under the blazing Palestinian sun. And it is given to us as a picture of a burden upon them. It's something hard. It's something harsh. They have borne the burden or the weight of all that work and all that climate upon them. While some, they got it easy. They just got to work for an hour in the cool time of the day, while we had to endure the hard time of the day. And so we have the thought of something being extreme and tough. Now, if you turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we have another occasion when this word is used, and it's used in a very different way, but I hope you'll understand when I explain it that it is showing the same thing. Here it's translated weight. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." And so that word burden is translated weight there, baros, or burden of glory. And here we're told that the future rewards that we're going to receive as a believer is an exceeding eternal, so it goes forever, weight, a heavy weight of glory. Weight simply means, gives the idea of heaviness. But what I want you to notice is with these two times when the word is used, they are used as examples of weight or something that is not of a normal proportion. When it's used here in Corinthians, the future weight of glory in heaven is far out of proportion to the amount of suffering that we have to go through as a Christian. Now, that alone is a wonderful thing to discover. We often think the things we have to go through as a Christian is hard and tough. And it may be, you might feel as though it is, but what the Lord tells us here is, although you might think that is tough, compared to what you're going to get in heaven, it is only minor, because the glory and the blessings that you're going to get is going to be extreme compared to the things that you have to suffer. It is a hugely different proportion to what you could ever imagine. And so there is a comparison here, and that's the same with laboring. You have those laboring in the cool of the afternoon, and that is nothing compared to those who are going throughout the whole day in the sun as it's beating down. And what we need to notice here is the Greek word baros speaks about something that is not only heavy, but it's out of proportion. It is something that is excessive and over the top. And so the burdens that are referred to in verse 2 are those times of extreme, hard, heavy burdens. Something that really none of us can cope with for a long time. This is not normal stuff. This is hard, heavy times. And what I want you to realize we discover here is there are some burdens, many burdens, that are just too heavy for us to bear on our own. That's what we learn from this. There are some things that we go through in life that are extreme, that are excessive, that are out of proportion to what is normal, and we're not designed to carry them on our own. And if you try to do it in your own strength, if you try to do it without any help, in time you will start to fall apart. You'll fall apart physically, you'll fall apart emotionally, you'll fall apart spiritually. And as believers, we need to be aware that some difficulties in our life are overwhelming. They are extreme, and the Lord doesn't expect us to carry them on our own. And so what's his solution? How do we get through them? Well, we're told here, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. We are to bear or to carry each other's burdens at times. When someone is burdened down with troubles of life that they're not meant to carry on their own, we're not meant to just sit back and observe from a distance and, I wonder if they're going to get through that one or not. We're not there to stay a distance and criticize or make the burden heavier or smear their name or act as though, wow, they must be fairly weak. Like, I would never need help, but obviously they do need help. As though there are no burdens that we need help with. Now, we made it clear here, there are times and there are certain things that are excessive and we all need help. And the Lord tells us, what I want you to do is to help each other carry these burdens. Now, that can come in lots of forms. Praying is definitely, praying for one another is obviously one way we can do that. But I don't think it starts and ends there. There could be many other things where we can help them. We may need to physically help in practical ways. We might need to emotionally help. We might need to spiritually help bear the load. Now, there's a flip side to this as well, and that is, if there are times where we aren't able to carry it on our own, have you been through one of those times and burdened down, and have you asked for help? Or have you just kept silent? See, yes, we're to help, but also we need to ask for help. Or has there been a time when a godly, loving, caring person has come beside you because they've noticed that you're weighed down with something and they've offered to help you in some way, yet you have politely said, oh no, I'm right, I'm okay with this. And the reason you do that is because you're thinking, well, if I accept help, they're not going to think that I'm perfect. Well, they're going to think I need help. Even though you do need help, you just don't want people to think you need help. They're going to know all about me. They're going to know not just my strengths, but they're going to know my weaknesses as well. I don't want that. And so I'm going to pretend there is never a time that I need help. And so you reject it. How many believers do you know who have borne the burden, that heavy weight, and that heat of the day, those extreme times in life, and because, or I have become spiritually and emotionally a wreck simply because they wouldn't accept help from others? It happens too often. Sadly, we can come to church putting on a front, making out that everything's fine, that life is sweet, we have no troubles, yet inside we're burdened down with things that we're trying to do on our own, yet God has designed it so we can't cope with them. We need help. It's a good way of keeping us humble. You know, mums, there are some things that God never intended you to bear alone. Might be a good study to see why, and when does God tell me as a mum I need to seek help and advice? Or comfort. You know, that's the same with fathers and men. Teenagers, there are things that you are never meant to have to deal with on your own or have to carry your own. Same with when you're aging. There are things that God says, no, you need help in these areas. And we see them in the Word of God. God has put a local church family here so we can bear one another's burdens. And they will vary depending on our age, what we're going through in life, and the circumstances around us. You know, we're shown one of these in the first verse of chapter 6. It says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Here we have someone that is burdened down with sin, and Those who are spiritual are meant to come and restore, lift that one up, help carry the burden of that one. And so if there is a brother or sister who's overtaken in a sin and being consumed by it, we're not meant to just sit back and see what happens. We're actually meant to go and help them and lift them up. And if you are someone who has dabbled with sin and that sin is now starting to dabble with you and starting to consume you, and you're getting to the point where you can't pick yourself up and you can't seem to get out of this mess, and you feel like just running away so no one can see you, no, the answer is you go and ask for help. Often the Lord wants to use brothers and sisters in the Lord to help you during these times. You know, when someone comes and asks me for help, I've never looked down on them, because I know that there have been times when I've been down and I've needed help. And I'm pretty sure there are going to be more times when I'm going to need help again. And that's what we need. And sometimes it's sin has consumed us and we need help to get out of it. That's not the only time though. There are trials in our life. There is sickness where we just need help. There are the sins of others where we are directly or indirectly being impacted on that. There is just loneliness of life. And the list could go on of things where we are burdened and we need help. And these are the times that we can be like Christ. Because it says this, He bore our sins and carried our sorrows. This is a time we're called to show the love of Christ, or so fulfill the law of Christ. And help so those who are overwhelmed aren't crushed. As Romans 12:15 says, rejoice with them that do rejoice. And that's a real good thing. I like rejoicing when others are rejoicing. But it says, weep with them that weep. And so in this part of the burden bearing, I see two responsibilities for us as individuals. The first one is, I'll apply it to myself, when I have a burden that is weighing me down, I need to ask for help. Or if someone sees that and comes and offers to help, I need to accept the help. You know, often we'll pray and say, Lord, You've promised to help me in these times. As Jesus said, you say, Lord Jesus, you said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And we pray, Lord, please help me. And then He sends help in the form of a brother and sister in the Lord to carry and help bear your burden, and you reject it. Oh, I don't want that. I don't want to actually reveal some of my weakness. Now, if He sent an angel from heaven, you go, oh, thank you. Oh, God, You're so good. You've sent this. You sent Gabriel. This is amazing. And you accept that. But when He sends a brother and sister in the Lord, oh, I don't know about that one. And we reject His help. We need to realize that there are going to be times and things that are out of proportion that He never expected us to carry on our own, and He uses one of each of us to help each other. That's the blessing of a local church. There are lots of reasons for a local church, and one of them is to be taught the Word of God, but it's a family where we can bear each other's burdens. And that's what God tells us to do. Now, the other thing that we need to learn is when we see someone with a burden, we need to take the opportunity to go and ask, can I help you in some way? Not just receive it when we need it, but also give it when the Lord prompts you and directs you to someone as well. So the first thing I'd like to ask you is, do you have a burden tonight? Would you say, well, I'd probably need to clear my road because, boy, I have got some burdens. Well, have you asked for help? If someone has come, have you received their help? Or are you just trying to do it on your own? Well, on the basis of what I read here and see, you're not going to make it on your own. It will crush you eventually. And so that's the first thing about burdens. But what about the burden in verse 5? For every man shall bear his own burden. Well, you know, this is a different Greek word, and I think this brings balance. Because there are some people who might say, bear you one another's burdens, and they think, well, that's great. I'm just going to sit back here, and anything that I don't like in life, well, I'll get someone else to do it. Like, if you've got children, you'll know that they're very good at that. There might be all these jobs in the house, but if someone's willing to do something they don't want to do, well, then they're happy to let them do it, right? And some people do that with their whole life. You see, this word is the word portion, and it means a task. And it means duties in life, and it's completely different to the other one. It's used in Acts chapter 27, verse 10. You can turn there if you want, or you can read it, or just listen. But here it's translated lading, which means cargo. It's a good name, eh? Cargo. Which means burden. But it says there, he said unto them, sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives. And so here, this Greek word that is translated burden in Galatians 6:5 is translated lading or cargo of a ship. Now, cargo on a ship certainly has weight to it. But the ship is designed to carry it. That's the key. They design a ship. This is the weight that it's meant to be able to carry. You put that weight on. It's doing what it's meant to be doing. And there are certain things that we, as just human beings, adults, and believers, are just meant to be doing. And there are some things that we are meant to be doing that we don't really like to do. And yes, we would be more than happy to let others do it for us, but it says here, for every man shall bear his own burden. There are certain things you shouldn't be letting other people do. You see, when you let someone else do what you should be doing, then that weight just starts to get a bit heavier on somebody else, and it becomes out of proportion. You know, I can't make you or help you have your devotions. That's a duty or a task that you need to do yourself. All right? There are certain things that fathers have a responsibility to do that God expects the father to do. And when the father starts getting the wife or the children to do it, well, then that's them not fulfilling or carrying their burden. There are certain things that God says mothers should be doing in the house and the home. And if they're letting their husband do it or getting their children to do it, they're not fulfilling their requirements. There are certain things that children should be doing. But if they just left it all to their parents, well, then that starts to bring loads that shouldn't be there. And too often what happens in churches and in families is people don't want to bear their own burdens. And so others have to bear it, and that's when they start to weigh down. Happens in families. Happens in the local church. You know, God has given us all gifts and abilities. And the reason for that is he wants all of us to do our part in the local church. And when everyone is doing their part, well then the responsibilities and the tasks and the burdens don't seem that heavy. But if there are some in the body that don't want to do their part, well then that has to go on to others. And then it gets a little bit heavier than what it should have been in the first place. You know, there are some things that just are needed if we want to fulfill the Great Commission. You know, we know that As a local church, we need to preach the gospel. We need to teach believers. We need to minister to the saints in various ways, spiritual and physical. We need to worship the Lord. But for us to be able to do that, each one of us have to bear our own burden or fulfill our task. There is a need for some to be musicians, some to be Sunday school teachers, to teach, one-way leaders, those who may be involved with the creche or letterboxing or the choir, and there are various other things as well. And when we all do our part, well, then it's easy. You know, the problem is there are some people that don't want to do anything, and so it's put on to others, and then in a church they get tired, they get worn down, and then they don't want to serve anymore. And so one way to help with the burdens of life is not just to bear each other's burdens when there are things that come in life that are just beyond what we're meant to, but also for every man and woman to bear their own burden. Can I ask you, if you call this your home church, are you bearing your burden for this church? Are you doing your little slice of the burden carrying so that we can serve the Lord and not be weighed down? Because there's not just the things of this life, this church, there's the things of this life. And so, yes, there are times we need each other to carry our overwhelming burdens. And there are also times when we should not leave it to others to carry, but do our part. And so can I ask you some simple questions to finish with? Do you feel weighed down by burdens at the moment? I wonder if that's how you feel. Well, if so, is it because you're trying to carry things that God never expected you to carry on your own? You think, nah, I don't need anyone. I can just do it all by myself. And you think you can do things that God said you can't do. Maybe that's why you're feeling weighed down. Is it time to ask for help to carry those burdens? Or is it time to start carrying some burdens that you're meant to be carrying so others aren't so weighed down with burdens? I wonder, do you know someone who's in need of some help carrying a burden? If so, have you gone and asked, can you help? You know, we all say that we want to be like Christ, but can there be a better way to be like Christ than how he said he carries his own burdens? There are certain things that he does that are his responsibility. He never expects us to do. But he also says, but come to me and I'll give you rest. I'll help you carry yours. I think that's a wonderful way to be like the Lord. This is a busy time of the year, probably a time when we feel really burdened. So it's not a time to just shirk your responsibilities. Do what you need to do and then see if you can do some things for others as well. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that, Lord, you will help us. Lord, thank you that, Lord, you even want to use us in the answers to those prayers. Lord, I pray that we would be on the lookout. We'll be mindful of your leading and prompting when we need to help somebody. Lord, I pray that we won't be too proud to accept help to carry those burdens as well. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.